Hi, everyone. Everyone, as in all six of my viewers, welcome back to the For Him podcast. You know, I started this show with the promise that I will be raw, real, and unfiltered. So I just want to admit that this is now my third take. I had to stop and say a quick prayer and ask God to just speak through me, give me the wisdom, courage, and confidence because I have been struggling. But today we're going to be talking about the truth and testimony. And I just want to start it off by giving a verse. I'm reading in Luke right now, so that's what it's from, and I feel like it just really speaks to this topic and honestly is what gave me the idea to talk about testimony in general. So the verse is Luke 4:40, and it says, "No matter the disease, the touch of his hand healed everyone." And I just think that this is such a beautiful and reassuring word. The fact that God can change any situation. He is a man of miracles. And no matter what you are going through, no matter where you are in your walk with God, if you even are anywhere near a walk with God, God has the power to change your life for the better. And it says so in his word, and his word is truth. And I just really love that. And it put on my heart to talk about testimony, because that's a big thing in becoming Christian. And so I'm just really thankful that no battle is too big for a God that is so powerful. Give a little background. What a testimony is a personal account of how someone came to believe in Jesus and how their faith has changed their life. This is a way to share God's work, to encourage others, to inspire others, to build community, to strengthen faith, and to evangelize. There's so much that goes into it, but I just really want to emphasize the fact that it says how someone came to believe in Jesus, because like any relationship, pursuit is required of both parties. And coming to Jesus, allowing Jesus in your heart, making space for him, is a very big part of that, as you can't expect God to work in your life without allowing him to do that work in your life. I want to be vulnerable and share my testimony. Everybody's looks a little different. But for me, it's something that is a very, very big part of why I believe in Jesus and how that has strengthened over time. And so I take a lot of pride in that. Just to start, I did not grow up in church or being taught about God whatsoever. It was not a big part of my family. And as I grew older, I had some friends who were a little bit more religious, did grow up in the church, and I started to go to church with them, but it really was for the wrong reasons. I went to church as more of a social thing and to like build those friendships. I was not focused on God whatsoever. I never truly felt God or knew what that meant. I had friends that said that they did, and I believed that they did, but that was something that I just never experienced for myself. And I'm not the type of person to say that I believe in something just because it's cool to believe in that thing, or that's what everyone's doing, that's what everyone's believing in. And so that was something that I always stood behind, is that if you were to ask me if I was religious, I would say no. I wouldn't say that I think God is not real, but I wouldn't say that I think God is real. If you were to ask me 2 years ago, I didn't know what I believed, because I had never felt internally that I was pulled towards something or that I had a strong faith in anything, if I'm being completely honest. And I was very content with that. I was super content with the life that I knew, which is really weird to look back on, because I had no idea that there was so much greater to come and that existed, and opportunity and all of those things. I got to a point where I was at a very low point in my life, in a difficult place, and I started to yearn for something greater. So I became curious and I started asking questions, which honestly is such a beautiful part of testimony, because curiosity promotes so much growth. And it's always, I have friends today even who aren't super religious or don't believe in God, and when they ask me questions about it, I just love, love, love to answer, because I remember being on the other side of that. And it's something that slowly makes you take one step towards God. And it's just the most beautiful thing to watch happen or feel happen when it happened for myself. And so in that, I started praying about if God was real, show me a sign. And I started truly reading my Bible intentionally. This was a Bible that I had got whenever I went to church way back when I wasn't going for the right reasons. And I came across it cleaning my room one day and just felt that I should start reading it and start learning and at least giving it a chance. And so night after night, I was reading my Bible very intentionally, very consistently, and praying every day, every morning, every night. That was something that I just started implementing in my life and was taking very seriously. And as soon as I started pursuing God in these ways, I was instantly met by God in my day-to-day life. It was so evident. It was a feeling that I had never felt before. It felt so real, just like sign after sign, but even better than the physical signs, I had the feeling in my heart that God was real and that I had no doubt in that. And it is just something that is so indescribable. And it's one of those things that you know when you know, you feel it when you feel it, and there's not words that you can put behind it. So I declared by mouth that Jesus is God, and for the first time truly believed this in my heart, and I was saved because that's all that it takes. And so from that day forward, I have not stopped seeking God, have not stopped learning about God, and have not stopped growing with God. And I can truly say that it is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I look back and genuinely wonder how I went so long, so much of my life without knowing God, without having a relationship with God, without seeking something greater and looking towards someone greater to guide my steps and have identity in. It has just completely transformed my heart and my mind and so many aspects of my life. I just feel a constant sense of peace, whether I'm in a good physical place or a bad physical place, because that's what joy is. Joy is a lot more based on God and not a circumstantial thing. Happiness is more of a state of what's going on around you, your external circumstances, but joy is something that you can take with you in the lows and have with you in the highs. And it's just something that is so new to me, and it's the most beautiful and reassuring and confirming feeling ever. My heart has softened so much and changed towards myself and others so much. I really have a heart to serve others now and am living so much less for myself, but so much more for God and for pleasing God by helping the people around me. My desires have changed to be very vulnerable. I was delivered from so much sin. There was a lot of my life that was revolved around lust and gossiping and getting into drunkenness and smoking and struggling with pride or jealousy or greed or idolizing other things. And so much of that now does not even exist in my life. And it's not something that happens overnight, and I'm not trying to make it seem like it's just this miracle. You wake up one day and you're completely changed. But it is something that when your heart is truly in it and you are praying for your heart to change, for your desires to change, it is so possible for you truly to be transformed from the inside out. And like I said, it's not like you will never struggle with sin again, but when your second desire is changed, like I truly want something, your first desires slowly follow along with that. And whether that be, I truly want to stop drinking. You might not genuinely want to stop drinking, but if you want to, over time, your desire will become to not want to start drinking. God does so much work in our lives that we will never understand, but it is so real. It is so possible. And I am a walking testimony of that. I cannot emphasize that more. I've gained so much humility, so much patience, kindness, selflessness, forgiveness. My heart has just been so softened and changed so much. And all glory be to God, seriously. Some things that I've learned along my journey with Jesus is that God is always working on us as long as we allow him to. As long as we make space in our heart for him, he will be working on us day in, day out. We will start to see those changes over time, and it is the most beautiful thing. In that, we will always fall short. We will always fall short. We will always be imperfect. We will always be sinners, and that's a hard pill to swallow as a Christian. For me, as I grew closer to Jesus and sacrificed so many things in my life for him that were part of my old life, it was hard for me when I struggled with sin and realized that that's still going to be something that happens. But I think that there's beauty in it, and that it points to our need for a savior. And it is so awesome how much grace and mercy Jesus has. He sits on this throne of grace, and all he asks of us is that we love him, we follow him, we believe in him, and he forgives us for anything that we do along that journey in falling short of that. He truly meets us where we are, and he draws us closer and closer to him. It doesn't matter if you've grew up in the church and been a Christian all your life and then veer off onto the wrong path and find him again. He will meet you there. It doesn't matter if you've never read a word in the Bible but want to start. He will meet you there. It doesn't matter if you've committed things that you think are unable to come back from, like sins that are just feel so deep and so strong that God would never want you to ask him for forgiveness. He will meet you there. He meets anyone where they are and works in them to draw them closer and closer to him over time. There was an analogy that was talked about in the Bible study that I go to that I thought was a really good way of looking at things. And it's that we're constantly on this path walking home to God. So imagine God as this house, whether that be in a field, in a neighborhood, on the beach, whatever you want to imagine, wherever you see fit that God's house is. God is this house, and we are walking in the direction to go to this house. And while we're walking there, we might get distracted. We might look over and see something happening along the way and veer off our path and go check that out for a little, but then get right back onto the path. We might fall while we're walking and have to deal with that, learn how to get up again and start walking. But the biggest thing, and the thing that I really want to shine light on and put focus on, is that we continue walking towards that house. We continue walking towards God. No matter how long it takes, we are always getting right back on that path. Even if we veer off, even if we stumble, we fall, we get up, and we keep walking towards God. And this is something that you can just do a little self-reflection of. It was something that we talked about when we were talking about this analogy. It's like, where are you in that? Are you on the doorstep? Are you at the house and knocking? Are you so far from the house you can't even see it, but thank God you have the directions? Are you halfway to the house but getting distracted and wanting to turn back around? The beautiful thing about all of it is it doesn't matter where you are as long as you want to be walking towards that house. And we even talked about, like, there's people who have lived in the house for years and then decide to jump out the window one day for what seems little to no good reason, but it happens because we're human and we sin. And the fact that we have the desire to get back to that house or stay in that house and be with God is all that God can ask for. In this, we also have to realize that although God is ultimately in control, we are still responsible. And he guides our steps, but it is up to us whether we take those steps or not. We as Christians still have this responsibility of continuing to walk towards God, following God, choosing God. Christianity is a choice. It is not something that you wake up and can naturally do. By nature, we are humans. We sin. We have to stay on this path and choose to stay on this path and do what it takes to stay on this path. I heard another analogy one time about how following Jesus is like swimming upstream, and it's not always easy, but it's so rewarding once you get there. And if you stop putting in the effort, you will naturally float downstream, because that's how it is. That's how the world works. We live in the world. As hard of a realization that is, that's truly the truth behind it. And all it takes is for us to continue swimming, continue trying. And like I said, Jesus will meet us where we are. Going back to testimony, what that looks like across the board for different people, my testimony, your testimony, his testimony, her testimony, in all of that, the common denominator is that we are saved when we believe that Jesus is God, and we speak this and believe this in our hearts. And it says this in the Bible in Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is just such an awesome thing, because he did so much for us. He died for our sins, and he asks so little of us. All he asks is that we believe that he is God. And not just say that we believe it, but truly believe it. And because of this, we get to spend eternal life with him. And so much of it sounds so crazy and almost even impossible. And I am very, very well aware of this, especially as someone who was a non-believer for so long. But there's so much beauty that we believe in a God that is so divine and powerful that it surpasses our human understanding, that these things don't make sense to us. Like, how could we expect them to make sense to us? We're talking about God here, you know? And so that's what leads a lot of people to question, how is this even possible? And I would say the overarching answer to all of that is that the Holy Spirit is also real. And this is part of who God is. There's the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into anyone who is saved by God. And when I say saved by God, I mean saved from sin, which leads to eternal death. And that means separation from God forever. But the Holy Spirit, because you are saved by God, provides power, provides conviction, provides direction. And this ultimately leads to a changed life. So what this means is that when the Holy Spirit lives in you, it acts as your internal warning system, which essentially is saying that when we take wrong steps, which might be steps away from God, we are aware of that. We can feel that. We are in realization of that. And the same goes for the opposite. So when we are taking steps in the right direction or towards God, we also feel that and are aware of that. And because of all of this, we are led on the right path, continuing to pursue God. I found a verse that goes along with this and just emphasizes how we are new creations when we are saved by God and how our lives change from this day forward. And it is Corinthians 5:17, which says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things become new." So what does this look like? What does a new life with Jesus realistically look like? We are forgiven of our sins. We are no longer spiritually dead, as we are spiritually reborn. And because of this, we have peace with God and a hope in eternal life with God. We are made right in His sight because we have faith in Jesus and His promises. We are now adopted into God's family, meaning we should behave as God's children. When you truly know God, you should want to pursue Him. You should want to pursue His greatness. You should be under this realization that I know that all I need to get into heaven is to proclaim my faith, to say that I believe in God and truly believe this in my heart. But when you know God and you know His character and you know what He wants for you, you want those things as well. It is now, like I said, a firsthand desire, and you want to follow God. You want to pursue God. You want to maintain that relationship with God. It shouldn't feel like something that is a chore or checking off my to-do list, or I feel like I have to do this because I'll be convicted if I don't. It is something that when your heart is changed, you now have a different perspective and have this desire to be with God, whatever that looks like for you. Turning to God ultimately means turning away from your sin. And this is because loving God and loving sin cannot coexist. They are so far on opposite ends of the spectrum that it just wouldn't make sense to want to chase after both of them. Does that mean that you will never fall short and never give into your sin or fight your flesh or struggle with your sin? No. But should you be chasing that? Also no. And when you love God, this is just something that will happen naturally and has happened for me, at least. So I'm speaking from my own experience. But I found a verse to go along with that. As I said, I'm reading in Luke. So it's another verse from Luke. And it's in Luke 3. It says that, "Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." Ultimately just suggesting that your new life with Christ shouldn't just be something that is internal. It should be something that is reflected externally as well by the way that you live your life. You should be a good representation of someone who knows God and because of that is living righteously. And I know that I have provided so much information in this. It is probably information overflow and a little bit overwhelming, but I just really want to emphasize that in everything, to sum up my testimony, I thought that I was content and satisfied without God until I realized how I was truly content and satisfied with God. And I know that it can seem like a lot. And like I said, I'm new to my faith. I was a non-believer for a long time. And so I used to think that spreading the gospel felt very forceful, and talking about Jesus and wanting others to turn to Jesus and realize how good of a life you can live when you live it with Jesus. I felt like that was a bit much, and it was pushy and it was pressuring, and I didn't understand it. And I thought that if God is truly real, that is something that I will realize on my own. I don't need it to be something that you push onto me. And I now understand, when I do know who God is and know what a life with God feels like and looks like, I understand that it's more just something that is a feeling that is so permanently good that you almost can't help but share it. And you just want others, whether they be strangers or the people around you, you want everyone to also understand this life with God and what it looks like and how good it truly is. I also am not trying to give the impression that a life with God is easy or perfect or something that should come so naturally once you turn to Him. There's always struggle. Like I said, there's always going to be a battle with sin, but there also is this constant peace and this satisfaction, true satisfaction that things of the world cannot give, that is so rewarding and ultimately worth all of that. I also apologize for any of the background noise. Like I said, I'm very new to this. I'm recording on my phone in my car in a random neighborhood. There's been cars passing by, planes flying over, birds chirping, whatever it might be. But hey, this is raw, real, and unfiltered as promised. And so that is my take on testimony. That is my truth to testimony. It looks different for everyone, but the thing that never changes is that Jesus is constantly transforming lives, and that is something that is never ending. So if you take nothing from this, I hope that you take that opening your heart to God, whether that be the first or the 100th time, gives Him a space to work in you, and He will meet you wherever you are the moment that you decide to do this. And this is the first step towards and for Him.